Well, Yankee fans, when it rains, it pours. The Bronx Bombers continue to struggle, losing 3 of 4 to, yes, the Baltimore Orioles. We're going to talk about it and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. It's Labor Day weekend. We're all supposed to be happy and enjoying what is said to be the last weekend of summer, but the New York Yankees continue to disappoint us, losing 3 of 4 to the Baltimore Orioles, the same Baltimore Orioles team that the Yankees have dominated over the past couple of years, the same Baltimore team that shouldn't even be in the same category as the Yankees. It's unbelievable how bad this team is currently playing. I don't know what the answer is. It's frustrating. I really contemplated doing a show on Sunday night, which you're going to get it. But I figured, you know, you're all frustrated just like I am. I might as well talk about it and get it off my chest while it's fresh instead of waiting until Monday to release our latest episode. But as always, find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. We could talk about the Yankees. We could bash the Yankees all we want. Make sure you follow us there. And again, search us up on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. As I mentioned earlier, the Pinstripe Talk Podcast is powered by Delahanty Media. So make sure you check out our brand. Go to our website, DelahantyMedia.com. You can also check us out on Facebook and by Instagram by literally just searching up Delahanty Media. It's that easy. Give us a follow, give us a shout out, and make sure you listen to our podcast and subscribe, rate, and review on whichever podcasting platform you listen on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. It's all there available for you. Now, where do we get started? I'm at a loss of words, to be quite honest with you. I really am. You know, you go into Baltimore, you're hoping things are different, but it's the same exact story. And right now, heading into the Blue Jays series on Monday, the Yankees have a 2-game lead on the final playoff spot. Yes, that's not an exaggeration. That's not a lie. They are holding on by a thread here. They are only 2 games up on the Orioles, the same team that just beat them 3 out of 4 times, and that same team who the Yankees still have to play a handful of times this year. It's ugly. And in an expanded playoff format, we've said it so many times. Oh, the Yankees are going to get in easily. They're going to get into the playoffs without effort. But they're pushing their luck here. They might not even get in. That's how bad they're playing right now. And there's so many people you can blame. There's so many ways you can look at it. There's so many different guys that are underperforming. There's so many guys within the clubhouse that just seem to not care. But it's just frustrating because the fan base, and including myself, expected greatness from this team. There's a lot of good going into the year. You sign Gerrit Cole. You bring back a team that won 103 games. You have depth all over the field. And it just hasn't worked out. I laughed before on social media because I saw something that said, you know, 2019 was the year we said next man up. Now, this year, 2020, it's next man slump. Because the guys who have filled in have been absolutely incredibly horrible. But we're going to get into all this and more as we break down the series for you. And we're going to look at some guys that I personally don't want to see anymore. I'm sick and tired of it, but I'll get into that in a little bit. It's just a frustrating time to be a Yankee fan. I know you guys are all sharing that same sentiment as I am because we're all dealing with the same thing. We were expecting this team to be a World Series contender, not a pretender. And it's unfortunate. But nonetheless, we go into the doubleheader on Friday night. Oh my goodness, this was another one. Listen, I love watching baseball. I do. But the way that the games were dragged out, I just felt like it was so long. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but I was getting bored. Physically bored. Game one goes into extra innings. Yankees end up winning it 6-5. It was kind of funny because Jonathan Holder had a pinch run. Yankees got into a predicament where they lost the DH. Andujar went into the field. So Holder started the inning off at second base. He ended up scoring a run to give the Yankees the lead. They end up holding on to win 6-5. You know, it was a good start to the series, and you're thinking, okay, the Yankees, as bad as they've been struggling, still understand that they own the Baltimore Orioles. So you're like, okay, this is a good start to the night, especially with Davey Garcia taking the mound in Game 2. Notable in Game 1, Gary Sanchez hit a home run. It's either a home run or strikeout for him, his 7th on the year. Gardner had 2 hits. He was in the 3-hole in this ball game. LeMahieu had 2 hits in the leadoff spot. Clint Frazier, I can't say enough about Frazier. I love watching him play on an everyday basis. He had 2 hits, and they go on to win 6-5 in Game 1. But the night was young, and it was about to get ugly. Game 2 was not fun by any means. Davey Garcia gets the ball, like I mentioned, and he looks solid. Not going to lie. Davey's got some good stuff. I like how he takes the mound. I like his approach to the game. I like how he has a idea of what he wants to do, how he's driven, how he likes to have the pressure situations. I get that. But his stat line is a little bit off because of what happened following. And let's face it, I think the Yankees kept Davey in a little too long. I really do. He wasn't as sharp as he was in his first start, but he had effective stuff where he could get outs. The Yankees end up taking him out in the 5th inning with 2 outs. Okay, so he's worked through 4 2/3. And now, reminder, you're going into a 7th inning game, or 7th inning game, because it was a doubleheader. So you're in a position where you only need limited outs out of your bullpen. And the Yankees' bullpen was depleted at this point. They didn't have much to work with. I think they had like 3 guys that were not on back-to-back or whatnot that they couldn't use. So before this game, the Yankees call up Clark Schmidt, the highly touted prospect we all have been waiting for. And obviously, we all thought that his major league debut was going to come in a role where he was pitching in the starting rotation. Well, wrong. Clark Schmidt comes on, and he's summoned to get out of the inning, out of the 5th inning. And there's runners on base, and it's not a situation that you want to put a rookie who's making his major league debut in. And Clark Schmidt struggled. And I mean struggled. He wasn't great. You know, that first inning he was in, let up a couple of runs that were charged to Garcia, let up a couple of runs on his own. It was just a bad situation that I wouldn't have put him in to start with. I would have probably went to one of the other relievers that you had available to get the out and give Schmidt a clean inning. It's not a position or a predicament to put a pitcher in. And I understand the argument against it that, you know, the Yankees have a lot of faith in this kid, and they think that he could do a lot of damage, and he could be an effective pitcher in whatever role, and they have a lot of faith in that. But you don't do that to a kid to set him up, and that's on Boone as well. I've said it on past shows. I don't like how Boone's handled the Yankees' bullpen. I think he's atrocious at what he does in terms of the bullpen. You see these guys struggling. You see how he uses guys in high leverage situations, going to Luis Cessa when you have a full bullpen. We'll get into that too. But I just thought it was a bad spot to put Schmidt in. And as excited as I was to see him, I was disappointed with the outcome. I would have rather have had him start a game instead of having him throw a clunker in a situation that a game got out of hand for the Yankees. Just frustrating. It just truly is frustrating. The Yankees go on to lose Game 2, 6-3. If you're looking for notables, you know, Kratz had 2 hits. They had 4 hits as a team. So they really didn't do much offensively. Wade had the other hit, and Andujar had another. You got nothing out of Hicks, Voit, Gardner, Frazier, Ford. LeMahieu pinch hit, nothing. Estrada, nothing. So it was just frustrating. Yankees didn't do much in Game 2. But you go into Saturday thinking, man, we have Gerrit Cole on the mound. This might be the one that helps us get back on track. I know I keep saying this on every show because, you know, Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole. And he looked dominant early on. Struck out 8 of the first 9 batters he faced. It looked like he was on his way to pitching 7-plus and really flat-out dominating the game. But the Orioles had other plans. And the Yankees defense had other plans, too. The game goes scoreless into the 6th inning. And they go into the bottom half. A brutal throwing error by Thyro Estrada extends the inning. Cole walks the next 2 batters, and boom, 5 runs on the board. Only 1 was earned on Cole's behalf. He ends up getting the loss. He's 4-3 on the year after not losing starts in, what, 20-something starts? Losing 3 in a row, that's pretty tough if you're Gerrit Cole. And you can sense the frustration after the game from him. The Yankees do nothing offensively except for a Frazier home run. Just an ugly, ugly way to lose, especially with your ace on the mound. You had a kid, Keegan Akin, pitch for the Orioles. The Yankees made him look like Cy Young, allowed three hits over five and a third. Yankees couldn't do anything against the bullpen. Scored a run off of Fry, the home run from Frazier, but that was it. And then you're heading into Sunday and you're saying, okay, we got to even up this series. We're not playing well. Baseball is not going in our favor. We got to do something to get back on track. And you have Masahiro Tanaka on the mound. So you're thinking, okay, you know, maybe Tanaka can get us going and figure it out. Who am I kidding at this point? Nothing is working. Tanaka comes out. He lets up two runs right away. DJ Stewart, who the Yankees made look like Babe Ruth this series. Stewart came into the game with no hits on the year. Of course, what does Stewart do? His first three hits of the year are all home runs against the Yankees. So DJ Stewart's back to being Babe Ruth, and the Yankees couldn't figure it out. Tanaka settled in after that first inning, pitched into the sixth inning, only allowed the two runs. He was charged with four runs, but only two were earned. So in that sixth inning, you're in a high-leverage situation, only down one. Does Aaron Boone go to Ottavino? No. Does he go to Chad Green? Just kidding. No. Who does he go to? Luis Sessa. And Luis Sessa walks in a run, then another run scores on an infield single, and just like that, you're down 4-1 when this Yankees team can't hit. And it's also important to know that pitches over the middle of the plate that they call meatball pitches, the Yankees are one of the worst teams in the league at hitting them. So it just goes to show you. The Orioles had another run in the bottom half of the seventh, and that's your ball game. 5-1 is your final. Yankees lose another one. Yankees lose the series 3 out of 4 to the Baltimore Orioles, who are making a playoff push. And right now, you could give them a playoff spot because why? They're playing better than the New York Yankees. The Yankees, with all these high-paid superstars on their roster, can't figure it out. It is frustrating, my friends. I have had enough. They are not playing to the capability of how good they could be. And I understand. Trust me, I get the injuries. The injury bug stinks. But a lot of teams are dealing with injuries and are overcoming it, or are at least playing hard to make it seem like they care. This team doesn't care. There's not one sense of care or urgency on this field. I don't understand it. You watch them and they're going through the motions. And Aaron Boone keeps saying he's Mr. Positivity. Oh, you know, this one put together good at bats. This one had a good couple of pitches here. No, this is not how it works. You listen to the Yes Network and you hear David Cohen and Paul O'Neill talking about team meetings and trying to get guys going. It just doesn't seem like this team has any leadership or any care. How, if you're Brett Gardner, how could you talk as a leader of a team when you're hitting 180 yourself? No Aaron Judge, who I don't think we're going to see at all this year, because I think that the way him and Stanton are going, they're both going to just end the year on the injury list because they're both soft at this rate. Judge can't stay healthy. I think he's going to lose the fan base after a while. And Stanton's a waste of the contract, too. People warned about it, and I'm like, oh, no, they get the National League MVP. What could go wrong? The guy can't even DH and stay on the field. It's pathetic. You know, and you look at some of these guys. I'm going to go through the list. You know, Voit's hitting 270. You can't ask for more from him. He's been their best player all year. LeMahieu's doing LeMahieu-type things. Like I mentioned, Gardner's hitting 180. Clint Frazier, who they wouldn't even bring up earlier in the year, he's been their best hitter as of late. He's hitting 275. He's in the top 15 in baseball in like three or more categories in terms of offensive production. Mike Ford's a stump, hitting 141. Andujar had three hits in the series finale. But he's been struggling. Maybe the everyday playing with Urshela out gets him back on track. After being so good last year, Tauchman, he's been terrible lately. You know, he's good defensively. He hustles, but he hasn't been hitting either. Aaron Hicks hitting 206. His $70 million contract's looking really good. Tyler Wade. Boone always giving these guys extra days rest here and there. Tyler Wade don't need a day rest. The guy's hitting 158. I can't watch him and Estrada play up the middle anymore. It's pathetic. Estrada hitting 194. And then Boone's going to tell me that you rush Gleyber Torres back for the Saturday game in this series, and you're not going to play him back-to-back days on that Sunday game against a team that he's absolutely mashed against in his career because he's back from the injured list? Come on. He's 23 years old. How many games are we going to rest? I think it's a funny joke. Me and my dad keep saying it when we talk about this team. They're going to be the most well-rested team watching the playoffs because at this rate, they're not even going to get in. They're not even going to get in the dance. And yes, I understand. Taking Judge out, taking Stanton out. Gary Sanchez being pathetic is not helping them. LeMahieu missing time. Gleyber missing time. But at the end of the day, the guys who come in have to do something and have to give some kind of productivity. I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees go a complete 180 this offseason and change up this offense. I really wouldn't be surprised. And again, I saw it on social media, and it's a point that makes a lot of sense to me. If you're DJ LeMahieu and you're playing at this high level, are you really going to re-sign with the Yankees this offseason? You might have a better chance of competing for a World Series title with another team. Why would you take a chance on these injury-prone guys and this manager who you could sense LeMahieu was frustrated? He had a sit on Saturday night. You know, why are you going to take a chance on that when you're hitting the latter half of your career and you want to win? And if that's the case, how do the Yankees pivot from that? If LeMahieu says, you know, I'm going to take money elsewhere, I'm going to go play with another organization, do the Yankees consider moving Gleyber Torres back to second and making a trade for, say, Francisco Lindor? Or heck, do they bring Didi Gregorius back, who would definitely, and I mean wholeheartedly, bring a spark to this team that they're lacking? Because let's face it, if you're the Yankees, you can't justify bringing Brett Gardner back. His run with the team has to be over. And before you jump on me, he's been great throughout his career with the team, a consistent veteran, but father time has hit, and he needs to go. And I don't think Tauchman's long-lived either. I think if it comes down to the point of picking between him and Frazier before the season, I think Frazier's got to get the nod. Frazier's a better ball player right now. Frazier's got the higher upside. And what do you do with Miguel Andujar? Are you going to keep stringing him along, or are you going to figure out something, what to do with him? Because this guy was second in the American League Rookie of the Year voting, and now he has no trade value and no value whatsoever because you ruined him. The injury hurt him, obviously, because Urshela came in and took the job by the horns. But what do you do with Andujar? LeMahieu walks there in trouble. They really are. They don't realize it, but the consistency they're going to lack from him being gone, it might be a lot for them to have to make up. And they might have to make some big moves in order to adjust it. And Gary Sanchez, Aaron Boone saying, you know, now I have to bench him. You know, this is the right route to go. This has been the right route for weeks. Sanchez hasn't hit a lick other than a couple of home runs. What does he have, like 14 hits on the year and 7 or 8 of them are home runs? You can't have that. And when you have a catcher, especially at the big league level, if the catcher's better defensively and could at least give you 250 to 275 batting average and give you some power and be very good behind the plate, you can live with it. But when you're hitting a league worst 130, it probably went down on Sunday, and you don't play defense well, what's your purpose? I said on our last show, I want to see Cole pitch to Higashioka or Kratz. I said it. Aaron Boone delivered, and early on I'm thinking, man, this is a nice battery, considering that Cole was dominant. But, again, Higashioka doesn't hit either, so you kind of have your hands tied. What do you do with Gary Sanchez? Do you give up on him, or do you keep moving with him and say, you know, shortened season, he wasn't able to get into a rhythm, and go from there? I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. But this is a guy that hit 30 homers not too long ago. It's a very frustrating situation. There's so many players you could point at. And I'm a big believer that Aaron Boone should not be the manager past the 2020 season. I don't think he's the right fit. I don't think that these guys play for him the way that we saw with Joe Girardi or even early in Joe Torre's tenure. You know, I said it to my family, and I've been saying it to everybody. I'm 27 years old. I'll be 28. In my lifetime, I've seen 3 Yankees managers. I grew up with the Joe Torre era. And at the end, you know, things changed and Torre got a big, I don't want to even say ego, but reputation, and things kind of changed for him. But then Joe Girardi comes and Yankees win the World Series. He was a manager that, even though we questioned his decisions, He was a guy that the players played for, and he got the most out of them. I don't think that's the case with Aaron Boone. I don't think Aaron Boone watches the game to see what's going on. I think Aaron Boone's too busy looking at the numbers and the analytics, and that's not good. Like, yeah, analytics are a big part of baseball now. I totally get that. I'm a big follower of them. I believe in them. But sometimes you have to use the eye test. If you see Jay Happ dominating, and he's not showing any signs of fatigue, and he's continuing to get guys out, you don't take him out of the game, regardless of the matchup. If you're looking at a situation and you're trying to make a change and you're going off the analytics, it could bite you. The Yankees' bullpen hasn't been good, you know? And I use Happ as an example, but there's many cases where I don't agree with what Boone's doing in the bullpen, especially given the situation I mentioned earlier where he goes to Sessa in a high-leverage situation where you could turn to Ottavino to get you out of the inning and kind of save your chances of winning the game. Look, we say it all the time. This team lives and dies by the long ball. They do. But when the long ball's not there, they're not scoring runs. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. They're pathetic with guys on base. And it's a continuing trend. And now you're at that point in the season where you're 21-19. You're 40 games and you have 20 games left. And you're in a situation where 14 of those games are against the Orioles, who just slapped you around in a series, and 10 against Toronto, who's battling for a playoff spot. They're no slouch. Yeah, you have your three games against Boston. Maybe you beat up on Boston. Maybe. And then you have the Marlins for three. But the bulk of your games are coming against division rivals that, one, the Orioles beat up on you, and that's not a promising sign. And then you're playing a Toronto team that you didn't see all year. And you're getting the better version of this team that they've made trades at the trade deadline. It's just a frustrating situation. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I don't know if this team has it in them to make the playoffs. I really don't. The way they're playing, the lack of, I don't even want to say lack of heart, but I feel like there's no motivation. There's no desire. In past years, especially last year, I think we got so spoiled by watching that team because every guy that came in, regardless of the injury bug, you know, they had some kind of fire in them. You know, they wanted to be great. They wanted to help this team win. But I just feel like this team is a little more entitled than they think, oh, you know what, it's going to be handed to us. And quite frankly, it's not. Look at the playoff situation right now. If the Yankees make the playoffs, if the season ended today, they would be the eighth seed in the postseason. If they didn't expand the playoffs, they wouldn't even be in it. And then you're in a predicament where your first-round matchup is against a team that has completely owned you this year in the Tampa Bay Rays. Is it really worth it? Is something going to change miraculously where you're going to say, oh, man, we could beat them 2 out of 3? It didn't happen all year. So I don't know what the answer is. I hope they figure it out. I hope there's somebody in that clubhouse, whether it be Gerrit Cole or DJ LeMahieu or maybe even Brett Gardner, steps up and says, you know what? The injuries stink. We're down a handful of guys. But somebody, and I mean somebody, has to step up and say, you know what? We want to be a playoff team. Nothing's going to be handed to us. And take that underdog type of mentality. You're not the favorite anymore. Nobody sees the Yankees as a playoff contender now. But if they can get healthy, maybe, just maybe, they can make a case for it. But right now, their season's on the line. And they need to figure it out because this stretch of games and this last stretch of who knows how many games has been rather frustrating to watch. And I can't think of another word other than frustrating. I could probably go on for another hour about the things that have frustrated me about this team. But you know what? Let's see if this team could figure it out. Because right now, I have my doubts. And I hate to say that because, you know, I love the Yankees. I love the organization. I'll bleed Yankee pinstripes to the day I die. But they're not giving me any hope. I mean any hope that they are a serious contender in 2020. They want to change that? Play better. Change my mind. The guys who are getting every day at bats. The Mike Fords. The Gary Sanchez's when he gets back from his benching. Tyler Wade. Thairo Estrada. Mike Tauchman. Brett Gardner. Aaron Hicks. I could go on and on and on. Play better. Be better. And let's see where you can go from here. Prove to the Yankee fan base that all this heart and dedication we give you is worth it. Don't flop on us. figure it out. And if it has to come to Boone, Boone better figure it out, because if this team doesn't make the playoffs, we'll be looking for a new manager come the 2021 season. You can mark that as a guarantee, because that would be one of the most disappointing endings to one of the most promising seasons we have in a very long time. I want to see what this team's made of. I don't know. I really don't know. Watching them the last couple of weeks has really scared me. But I'm going to hold out hope. I'm going to hold out hope that these guys can figure it out. 2020 is a weird season. It really is. There's a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of doubt. A shortened spring training, then we had summer camp, and a shortened condensed season against only American League and National League East teams. It's definitely different. But that doesn't give any excuse, because this is essentially very close to the same team we saw last year. And last year, they were able to win 103 games, regardless of the injuries. And with Gerrit Cole in the mix now, you would expect this team to be better. But I don't know the answer. We'll have to wait and see. But as they start up their new series against the Toronto Blue Jays, they're going to have to flip a switch, because time is running out. 20 games left. What is this Yankee team made of? We'll have to wait to find out. But as always, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast available on all podcasting platforms, starting with Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. We're also on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. You name it, our show is there available for you. Make sure you check it out. We are powered by the Delahanty Media brand. Find us on our website, DelahantyMedia.com. Also, on Instagram and Facebook, Delahanty Media. Search that up. It wasn't a fun show. I feel stressed out. I normally just love talking about the good things the Yankees do, but it hasn't been ideal for us. We haven't seen a lot of good recently. Hopefully, that changes for our next show. But as always, we thank you all for listening in. This has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Yankee fans, keep the faith. I know it's hard to say right now, but we got to stick together. And as always, let's go Yankees. Praying to the baseball gods, there's some wins coming, but we will shortly find out. Take care, everybody. We will talk to you really soon.